Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is David Langer. I am part of the men's ministry team here at the church. And the opportunity to speak today, I think that needs to be turned off. I picked this date specifically because so many people were going to be at the campground. At least that's what I thought. So with all of you out there, the pressure is on this morning, but I am up for the challenge. This morning we're going to spend some time in the book of Luke, chapter 5. We're talking about being a fisher of men and the opportunities that we have being called to be fishers of men. We're going to start with a quick video clip, and then we'll get into sharing some word, sharing some of my personal testimony, and giving you a call and a challenge at the end.
Push the boat out further to the deep water. Then you and your partners let down your nets for a catch.
Oh, Master, we worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. James! John! Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.
Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.
This video clip comes from the Jesus movie, which was launched in 1979. The movie had a start, though, that dated long before that. The man that had the passion and the calling to produce this movie, his name was Bill Bright. And back in 1945, he wanted to develop a movie, one that would tell the story and the life of Jesus that was entertaining, biblically accurate, and could be translated into non-English languages. But rather than making that film, Bill went on to found the Christian ministry that reaches the college students called Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU, as we know it today. He started that ministry in 1951. After successfully running that for many years, in 1976, Bill turned his attention back to filmmaking. He selected the Book of Luke, and with the help of funding from members and backers of the CRU organization, they started filming. A At that time, it took them $6 million to produce the movie. The same movie that's being shown today over and over again. It's been over 35 years. The movie has been seen, oh, go back one. The movie has been seen over 8 billion times. And per their website, they proclaim that over 490 people have been brought to the Lord through the seeing of this movie. To prepare and prep for this movie, they took a team of 500 scholars and leaders from secular and Christian organizations to do the research to make sure the movie was historically correct and accurate. And it took over several months to be filmed throughout the Middle East. God's favor and blessing certainly has been on this man, his ministry of crew, and this movie as it continues to be shared all over the world. It has been translated to over 1,000 different languages, presented all over the world. If you were to go to their website, and there's a section that says, why did they make this movie? They would proclaim, we want everyone to hear. We want everyone everywhere to encounter Jesus by sharing the story of Jesus. We believe film is the most dynamic way to hear and see the greatest story ever lived. So we are called to bring Christ-centered video to the ends of this world. Next slide. So the message of today comes from Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But in the book of Matthew, this little segment, this story is pretty short. So what we need to do is actually go to the book of Luke, chapter 5, starting at verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left by their fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out for a little while. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. This is where the movie clip takes over. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they had caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were John and James, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. When I was a young believer, and I heard this story and read the scripture, I thought it was astonishing that someone would just walk away, leaving their business, their livelihood, their families, and just follow a stranger. You know, as I grew in my faith, I recognized and learned through teaching that that wasn't the first time that these fishermen, that these people had met Jesus. He had been preaching and teaching in their area of Galilee. He had been involved in their community. He had reached them where they were. So at this point in time, as Jesus is teaching to the crowds of people, he decided to step into a boat, which if you've ever been next to water or on water, as you speak, your voice bounces off the water and then goes back. It's amplified. So the magnitude on the shores could easily hear what Jesus was saying. Jesus knew this, of course. He had control over everything. He could calm the seas. He could make his voice louder if he wanted to. But I'm sure he had a plan in place. He wanted to engage these fishermen for a very specific reason. So we're going to take a look at that today. We're going to look at the call on these fishermen's lives and the call on our lives still today. We can go to the next slide. The call of Jesus. Jesus preached repentance. The Bible portrays a saving faith that is a life-changing faith. Anything else is a non-life-saving faith. The gospel repeatedly shows us that Jesus was available. Incredible as it sounds, with so little time to teach and train his slow-learning disciples, Jesus was available to those who came to him for comfort or healing. The Gospels never record Jesus turning down a request for help. Jesus had time to invest in others. Anyone, whether poor, sick, defiled, demonized, outcast, all could approach him. And the underdogs got to him as easily as the wealthy and powerful. You see no difference in his reception of the powerful Roman centurion, the Samaritan woman, the woman taken in adultery. His impartiality was a declaration of love and tenderness to those who sought, to those who he sought to win. Win what? The destination of their internal soul. Jesus was totally sensitive to the needs of those around him. And Jesus always recognized an open heart or a repented sinner. Jesus was never out of touch. As believers, followers of Jesus, the destination of eternal souls is the most important thing there is. Discipleship is the process, the roadmap, the master plan Jesus gave us. We are to follow it. We are all on a spiritual journey, our own personal timeline that God Himself created for us. It's our task to be obedient. Christ's Spirit filling us gives us Christ-like empathy to make us sensitive to others, to lead us to them, or to have them be led to us. The second part is the power of Jesus' call. Fishermen of those days, and even today, are very hard-working people. Professional fishermen usually don't sit around much doing nothing. They're either sorting their catch, preparing their boats, mending their nets. The Lord at that time needed hard-working people, those that were not afraid. He needs the same out of us today. A fisherman needs to be patient, because he knows that it often takes time to find a school of fish. A good fisherman learns to wait. It certainly takes patience to win others to Christ. A fisherman develops his skills. They learn from others where to find fish, how to catch them, where and how to drop the net, at what the right moment might be. A poor timed dropping of a net has lost many a catch, both of fish and men. Soul winning demands skills, which we learn by watching one another, those of us, our brothers and sisters, that actively use your skills and gifts to share the gospel. A fisherman must have perseverance. It's not a simple matter to wait patiently in one place, hoping some fish will eventually show up. It takes a matter of going from place to place, and sometimes back again, over and over again, until the fish are found. Perseverance for us as Christians today is a hard thing to come by. Our world is so instant. We want everything to happen right away. But it's all in God's timing, God's perfect timing. But most important, fishing demands faith. Fishermen cannot see the fish. They're not sure if their nets will enclose them. It takes great courage to reach out of our comfort zone and to try to touch a life for Christ. Soul winning requires faith. Some of you know that I am a fisherman, and I like to go fly fishing. That's my passion. A lot of times I can see the fish, but most of the time I can't. Even if I can see them, there's something called refraction, which means the position of the fish that I see from on top of the water, he's really not there. He's at a different position. He's moved away. So if I wanted to actually cast to him, I needed to calculate what that refraction is so that I can get my bait, I can get my lure to go right in front of him. A lot of times as we look at the target fish of us, as brothers and sisters, people that we know, we can't actually always see exactly where they are. We don't know what their life has been. We don't know what they went through yesterday or today or planning to go through tomorrow. But we have to put all of these skills together. We have to put our patience. We have to use our skills, the perseverance and faith to allow us to be successful as we go after and target those souls that are not yet saved. For it is not us, but Christ in us that gives us this chance of being successful. It also means we have no excuse. We have no reason not to follow him, not to be obedient to his call. And thirdly, I will try to get this word right. I have practiced several times. The presumptuous, I didn't get it. The presupposition of Jesus' call. Jesus called us to be fishers of men. His words are clear. We have no business sitting on the shore when men and women, our future brothers and sisters in faith, are being lost at sea. The Lord said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men. That's the only thing he said he would make us. That's it. There is no plan B. Jesus wants us to serve, obey the commandments of the scripture. So here's some tough questions. How many of us are truly using the spiritual gifts God has given us? Are we praying for the lost, actively sharing the gospel, serving in the local church, obeying the commands of scripture? How many are truly following Jesus? Can we call ourselves Christians that cast nets? Or are we those that cast stones? So where do we cast our nets? Everywhere we go, with everyone we meet, in our words and in our actions. So let me start with an easy question. How do people get to church? There's a survey that was done not long ago. It's pretty obvious. It lands on our shoulders. It's not the pastor. It's not our social media team. It's not the events and organizations that plan something that brings someone here. It's us as fishers of men. We are the ones that God has asked to be part of his daily plan to go out, share the gospel, and invite people to church. Now, why this is so passionate to me is because it is my story. This is a ministry timeline of mine that I use in my ministry work. And you can't quite see it, but I'll let you know. That little button there says July 2008. That's the date that my heart was softened. I came to the Lord. and I was saved. Only possible because my boss asked me to go to church with him. Out of the blue. I guarantee you he felt sorry for me because I worked 7 days a week. Because at that time, my God, small g God, was work in my career. But he invited me to his church. But just like the movie clip and the Jesus movie, the start of my salvation started way before this. There was a man named Russ Coninger that over a period of 10 years showed me and how he lived his life, what it meant to be a Christian man, a Christian husband, and a Christian father. I had no idea what that meant at the time. I had no idea that I was going to end up in Alabama working and where Doug would invite me to go to church in July of 2008. I didn't know, but God knew. It was part of his master plan for me, part of my spiritual journey before it was my spiritual journey. And I could go all the way through this list. I can tell you that I went to Iron Sharpens Iron and volunteered. Larry DePeace was the man, the brother that said, I'll take you under my wing and I'll teach you how to be the conference coordinator. I can go on to Texas. When I went to Texas to be part of the ministry in Texas, there was a man that used to live here in Massachusetts, live here in Connecticut, and moved to Texas. He called me from Texas and told me, there's a ministry down here that needs you. And I went. From Texas, I went to Montana because a missionary from South America told me his son-in-law and daughter were building a property in Montana and they need what you can do for them. And I left and went. And when that project was finished, I picked up the phone and I called Pastor Leon and I said, do you know anyone that might be looking for a men's ministry leader, a men's pastor, anyone to do with men's ministry? And his response was, come home. And I did. Spent the last couple of years here, calling this my home church, serving, being obedient to God's call in my heart to serve men. That's my testimony. So now the question is, what does this mean to you? We all have gifts, we all have talents, we all have skills. We've been called to use them. There is no plan B. That's what Jesus asks us to do. In fact, he commands us to do it. And through the gifting, through our experiences, all of those things come to place. They fall into place in God's perfect timing. So my question to you is, who's on your My World list? When's the last time you updated it? Again, everything is under God's perfect timing. Who has God put in front of you recently? Or who has God put on your heart that you need to reach out to and contact or recontact or get reconnected with? Because we never know what we say today, what the impact will be in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years from now. We're fishermen. We're fishers of men. And sometimes the bait we throw in the water is just chum today, which calls someone towards us. And maybe tomorrow we catch them, or a week, a year. That's all part of God's perfect timing as well. So in conclusion, I give the challenge that we all get active. We all become proactive fishermen everywhere that we go, with everyone that we see, all the time. Because the alternative isn't that pretty. Imagine how confused some will be on that day when they hear, those who didn't catch fish were truly not fishers of men. No matter how much they claimed to be. So let's go fishing. And let's catch some fish for the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for each and every opportunity that we have to be fishers of men. To recognize and see that you have already prepared the hearts of the minds of the men and women that we will talk to. And sometimes their hearts will still be hard, but on that special day, their heart will be softened as mine was. And I was ready to hear the gospel, your good news. I was able to accept that as my personal faith. But it took a man to just invite me to church. And sometimes that's all it takes. It can be that simple. It also can be as simple as delivering a meal, driving someone from point A to point B, or just being next to them at a time of need. Jesus was always available. And through him, we have his empathy for those that are around us. So continue to guide us and direct us and lead us. And let us stand firm and just not shrink away. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our final song together.
Everyone. So when we talk about God's perfect timing, unbeknownst to me, we have a brand newly designed My World List form. And it's out on the desk in the back. So there's a bunch of copies there. So grab a new one on your way out today. Fill it out. Have some fun. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.